You know, we've been working through the fruits of the Spirit. And it's a familiar passage, but there's just so much with the fruits of the Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, there's no way that we could accomplish it. We just couldn't. And in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. There's no way we could accomplish that. Joy. There's no way we could have joy. Peace. There is no peace without God. Patience. Man. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That one's the big one. I'm saving that one for last. There's a reason why it's last. And against such things, there is no law. So today we're going to look at this word patience. You know, there's a famous psychologist, an educator named John Dewey. He said that the most useful virtue in the world is patience. You know, the fact that we need it all the time and we need it everywhere. Everywhere I go, I have to practice patience. Proverbs 16:32 says, it's better to be patient than powerful. It is better to win control over yourself than over whole cities. You know, by testing our patience, God gives us a true patience. It's easy to appear patient when everything's going well, isn't it? But what happens when things aren't going well? How's your patience then? So I thought of some ways that test your patience. We have, first of all, interruptions in our life. Interruptions always test your patience. We've all experienced those. You have a flat tire, you sit down for dinner and the phone rings, or when you go to the store and it's so busy and there's a big long line and there's only one checker and you're in a hurry. And you wait and you wait and you wait. And you're like, why can't they open up another lane? You know? And then by the time you get there, you lay all your stuff out on the conveyor thing there, and the lady starts to check, and then your phone rings, and your wife says, hey, we're out of milk. And you're like, oh, man. And so then you got to take the groceries out to the car and put them up and then go back in or stop somewhere else, you know. And I mean, those are times that test your patience. Sometimes you're just like, forget it, you're not getting milk tonight. Right? I don't even drink milk. You know, we don't like interruptions in our life. We don't like that. We just don't. And, you know, but I think the disciples, they encountered disruptions and interruptions in their life, and they became impatient with people who interrupted Jesus' busy schedule all the time. And there was, I like the story when they brought some children, they brought children to Jesus, and so he might lay hands on them and pray with them, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, you know, let the children alone and don't hinder them from coming to me. He's like, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. You know? And the disciples looked at this event as an interruption because the kids were just getting in the way. How many times have we thought that our kids just get in the way sometimes? Sometimes they get in the way of things. I wouldn't change it for the world, though. If kids are talking out in church or running around or crawling around on the floor or crawling under the pew, that's okay. It doesn't bother me. It's okay. That's normal for kids to do. Sometimes people do that too, adults. Sometimes they snore in church. So that's the first test of our patience. The second one is inconveniences. Inconveniences, you know, how do you deal with inconveniences in your life? And I know as Americans, we hate to be delayed. We hate... You know, we're the now generation. We want it now. We have this microwave mentality. We want everything in an instant. You know, they make instant rice, instant oatmeal, instant coffee. fast food. I mean, all these things, because we are in such a hurry in our life that we don't have time. You know, 150 years ago, they wasn't like that. If they missed a stagecoach, it was just like a couple days later they could get another one. It was no big deal. Life was a lot slower and simpler then. Luke 10:40 tells us about a woman who had trouble being patient in the face of a very inconvenient time with her sister. And it says this in Luke 10:40, it says, Martha had her hands full of work of the house, and she came to Jesus and said, Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has let me to do all the work? He says, to say to her, she is to give me some help. So she felt like, you know, that Martha should be helping her. Martha was upset with her sister Mary because, you know, she had inconvenienced her. And she was left to do all the work. She was left to carry all the load. And sometimes life is like that. We don't like that. Sometimes life is not fair. Another one is irritations. The third test is of patience is those little things in life that bug you. You know, I think like slow traffic, long lines, flat tires, hot weather. And I'm telling you, the list could go on and on. And some of these irritations are controllable, but most of them aren't. So we have to learn to cope with things in life. And how do you handle them? Well, it takes patience. What happens when somebody irritates you? We read about Moses. Moses got irritated at the children of Israel. I mean, he had run out of patience, and God told him they were needing water. And God told him, he said, all right, speak to the rock. Well, what'd Moses do? It says this in Numbers 20, 10 and 11. Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock, and he said to them, listen now, you rebels. Man, that was a strong word back then. It must have been. Shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock? And then Moses lifted up his staff and struck the rock twice with his rod. And water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their beasts drank. So, I mean, he was so aggravated at them, he strikes the rock not just once, but twice. Have you ever got aggravated with something? Like a lawnmower that wouldn't start? Yeah, have you ever been that way? You know, and then next thing you know, you're kicking and swinging and throwing. And I mean, those things happen, don't they? We lose our patience. And I think that's where Moses was at this time. He was like, I've had it with you guys. You guys, all you do is complain and whine and cry about everything. And he goes off on them. You rebels. I think today's standards, I don't know, that word may have been a little bit more harsh than that back then. One is inactivity. I think most of us would rather do anything but wait on anything. We hate to wait in the doctor's office. You go to the doctor and he tells you to be there at a certain time, or she does, and you sit in the waiting room for an hour. And then when you finally get in the room, you're there 5 minutes, and they're like, oh, everything looks good. I'll see you in, you know, 6 months from now or whatever. And you're like, I just spent an hour sitting in your waiting room, and you give me 5 minutes of your time? I mean, am I alone in that? Everybody's looking at me this morning. Okay, I guess so. You know, most of you know that I was in the military. I was in the National Guard for 4 years, And I remember one time, one of the famous sayings in the Army is "hurry up and wait." We heard that a lot, and it had good. It was valid, okay. As I remember, many times when that was absolutely, extremely true. And one time I was on the airfield where we were told to be on the airfield when I was down in Honduras. I was in Central America. We'd been down there for a month. We were ready to go home. And when they said, hey, you need to be on the airfield. And so we were like excited about getting to go. And so we hurry up, man. We get up, and at 0430, man, we're out there on the airfield. Because the C-5 was supposed to be there to pick us up. So 8 hours later, the plane comes in, right? So So then it takes us another, it was like, you know, 1,800 hours before we could ever even leave. And then we had to stop at Fort Campbell, and then we had to stop here, and we had to stop there. So it was another like 9.5 hours to even get back to Scott Air Force Base. So this hurry up and wait is a real test. So all this hurry up and wait was real in the Army, and you know what? It's real in our lives every day. We often speak of the patience of Job, and Job is an example of a man who couldn't do anything but wait. He had no choice. In Job 14:14, he says, "All the days of my struggle, I will wait until my change comes." Can you imagine that? He said, "All the days of my struggle, I'll wait." And he was sure that change was going to come. You know, we can learn much from Job's example, and there's some things that you just have to wait for. How do we become more patient? What causes impatience? I think it's a lack of peace, which is what we talked about last week. Perhaps that's God's way of putting patience right after, peace is in this list, or what we're talking about this morning is, when you have peace in your heart, almost nothing can make you impatient. So we got to develop a new perspective in our life. And first, you know, we need to find a new way at looking at situations or the person that is giving you your problems. Because generally, people are the biggest instigator of our problems. Patience begins by changing the way we view things. Sometimes we need to look at other people's point of view. If we put ourselves in other people's shoes, then we start to understand things a little bit differently. The root of impatience is selfishness, though. And I want to tell you, I have to work on that too. I need to get a new perspective in my life. I need to learn to see things from other people's point of view. If you want a successful husband or wife, let me tell you this. Learn to see life from your partner's point of view. It helps. It really does. It's hard, I'll tell you that. It's not easy. Because why? Because we want to be right. I want to say my perspective is better than that person's perspective or my wife's perspective. And she feels the same way sometimes. Well, then you never get anywhere. If you want to be a successful parent, learn to see life from your child's point of view. If you want to be a successful business person, learn to see life from your customer's point of view. If you look at the situation from others' perspective and discover why that person feels like he or she does, you know, then you can agree on something, and then it helps you to understand them. Proverbs 4:5 says, "Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth." You know, three important insights to remember, I think, is that we are only human and we're not God. No one is perfect, not even me. And God is in control of everything. He uses every situation to make me better. Man's steps are ordered by the Lord, Proverbs 20:24. And this means that you may experience some divine delays, like at the checkout, when you're impatient and waiting in line, you may be right there with somebody that you need to talk to, and God has put you there to speak good, encouraging words to that person. And I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me. Something that may have been inconvenient to me when I had to go back out to the car, put my groceries up, come back in the store, and I run into somebody that God needed me to talk to. So we have to discover this new perspective. I think one big thing we have to do is we have to discover, because some people I think need to discover, we need to acquire a sense of humor. We have to laugh at things. Yeah, I really do. I think that laughter, we need to learn to laugh at our circumstances. I think God put me here for entertainment purposes for everybody else. There's times I'm like, that's why I'm here. You just go ahead and laugh at me.
Yeah.
That's what I'm good for. But it's a good antidote for anxiety. It really is. If you're having a bad day, if you get around somebody that makes you laugh, your day's a whole lot better. I mean, I don't know what it is. I don't know if you're like me, and sometimes I think it's wrong. But watching videos of people that like crash their bikes or like fall off of ladders, you know. And I'm like, I don't know why that makes me laugh, but I'm like, this is wrong. You know, seeing other people's pain for some reason, you know, because I'm like, man, I've been there. I know what it's like. I don't know. I'm just messed up, I guess. But I don't know, you know. But God still loves me, and He's still using me. And a joyful heart makes a cheerful face. But when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. Proverbs 15:13. And I think I'd love to see you guys smiling, and I don't always get to see that. I wish you guys could be up here sometimes and see the faces that I see. Yeah. I would never take a picture to embarrass you. Because sometimes I see, you know, it reveals to me sometimes what something's going on in your life. Whether you're just really tired or whether there's something going on in your life. You know, scientific studies show that people who laugh live longer. Humor is a tension dissolver, I believe, and it's an antidote to anxiety. It's a medication without any troublesome side effects. And laughter is, I think, also a life shock absorber. It helps us get through the day if we can just learn to laugh. If you can just laugh at life, you know, you can live with it. You can live with things going on in your life. You can learn to laugh at your troubles, and you'll never run out of anything to laugh at. I'm telling you. I haven't yet. Life is full of funny situations, and I don't know if you've ever heard of Will Rogers. Some of you might have. One? Okay. My dad, I know that dad knows who Will Rogers is. Well, he said this. It's so valid for today. So valid. Will Rogers said, I don't know any jokes. I just watch the government and report the facts. Man, you just laugh at things. You have to, because then you just get so aggravated at what's going on in the world today, you have to laugh at it. I mean, you can laugh, you can watch things and go, look at that idiot. I mean, you know, I'm being real. But we need to deepen our love with each other. You know, becoming more patient is really deepening our love for each other. We all have problems in our life. We all deal with stuff. And if we can just learn to love each other, you know, there's historical writings of even pagans outside the church that would write like, look at this Christian community. Look how they love each other. Look how they love each other. And that's what drew people to the early church, because they loved each other so much. They could get along even when there was problems. And let me tell you, we all have problems. And a lot of this, when you're filled with love, almost nothing can provoke you to be angry or cause you to be impatient. And when you're filled with anger, almost anything can provoke you. You ever seen somebody who just lives on the edge all the time, and it just, anything sets them off? Every little thing sets them off. It's like they're always looking for something. Always looking for something to blow off, you know. Whatever is inside is due to come out sometime or another. So deepen your love. Let love come out of your life. Ephesians 4, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love." And that's an important thing Paul is saying as he's in prison. He's writing this, show tolerance with each other. Man, it's hard to do sometimes, tolerate people. Let me tell you, it's hard to tolerate some people. And I've talked about that. There's some people that's hard to love. There's some people that we feel like don't deserve our love because they've done something wrong to us, or they, you know, we just don't feel like they deserve our love. But Paul's saying, man, tolerate each other, showing tolerance, gentleness, patience, humility, and love one another. Love one another. Why should we be patient with others? Because, well, the Lord commands us to, for one thing. We need to depend on the Lord. I depend on you. We sang that song. I depend on you. In order to be patient, is we got to depend on God. Patience is not merely a matter of human willpower. You can't will yourself into it. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's what the Spirit grants you in your life, and you can't just psych yourself up and say, I'm going to be more patient today if it kills me. Patience is not just that. Patience is not just saying, he doesn't really irritate me, when deep inside you're really thinking, I hate that guy. I mean, there's sometimes we feel that way inside, and God is saying, the Lord is saying, no, that's not the right way to be. Let love abound in your life, and let the Holy Spirit bring patience to your life. Let the Holy Spirit bring peace to your life. Let the Holy Spirit bring joy to your life. The fact is patience is a form of faith. It says, I trust God in my life. Faith helps us to look at life from God's point of view. It helps us to say, God, what do you want me to learn today from all this? What do you want me to learn in this situation? You know, Noah had to wait 120 years to see raindrops. Abraham waited 100 years to have a son. That's a lot of patience. Moses waited 40 years in the desert and then spent another 40 years leading the children of Israel across the desert. Yet we have trouble waiting until tomorrow for an Amazon package to show up. And if it didn't show up, we're like, where's it at? Where's my package? Huh? That just came. That's not even in my notes. I have to have notes because I get way off in the bushes sometimes. And I'm trying to hurry up here because today is a special day. Yep. You know, the hardest kind of waiting happens when you're in a hurry and God is not in a hurry. It's hard to be patient when you're waiting for an answer, a prayer. Let me tell you, that's hard. It's hard to understand sometimes the things that we go through when we're praying to God every day and we don't seem to get that answer that we want. That's hard. But let me tell you, God's never late. His timing is perfect. His timing's perfect. He wants us to just trust Him and wait on Him for that perfect time. The psalmist said, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Psalms 37:7. Earlier there in 37, verses 3 and 5, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourselves in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust also in Him and He will do it. I like that. Two times in that verse, he says, trust and dwell and delight and commit. All the aspects of faith. And God just wants us to trust Him. He just wants us to trust Him, just like He told Moses. He said, just speak to the rock. That's all you have to do. Moses didn't listen to that, and then Moses wasn't allowed to go into the promised land because of his disobedience. And I'll end with this. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, the Lord is not slow about His promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. He's slow. I'm glad He waited on me. Amen. I'm glad He waited on me. God is patient. And so I challenge you today. We should be patient too, right? So we work on that. And one of my favorite Facebook posts I ever saw was said, Lord, give me patience or give me bail money. We all need that, right? So we laugh a little bit, but God asks us to work on our patience.